All right. I got my personality back. When they put that thing in front of me and I had to read my comments, it just ruined my personality. But I'm pleased to tell you I've got my personality back here. I'm not reading the transcript prompter, whatever it is. No wonder Trump looks so weird when he reads that thing. Let's start our class period with a prayer this morning. Father, we are so grateful and mindful of your presence in our lives, and it's especially present, Father, when we gather with those that we love on Sunday mornings especially and worship your holy name. Father, we are so joyful about the way our voices sound together and the way that the music stirs the soul and our heart as we pour out our worship to you. And we pray, Father, that you have been most pleased today by having heard from the depths of each one of our souls. And we're most gracious that you've shown your love and mercy to us, that coming together and worshiping your name is such a vital part of our lives. Father, bless our time this morning as we visit about things important to our church here and your church here and the work that we do here in this community on your behalf and for your glory. Thankful, Father, for all of those who have gone before us and all of those who will go before us. We're thankful for the investments and the expenses that those who've gone before us in our past have made on our behalf, but we're also grateful, Father, for the expectation of the investment and the expenses that we'll make today for those whom we may not even know, but who will be working here for your glory in the future. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending him to us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Before we kind of get into a little bit of the details of our capital campaign this morning, I wanted to do just a brief little Bible lesson, if you want to call it that, and it's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first 12 verses. 2 Corinthians 8, the first 12 verses. You know, Paul was speaking to a group of believers here who he wanted to challenge in what he called the grace of giving. And his illustration in teaching these Corinthian brothers was using the example of other Macedonian churches just to their north, just to the north of Corinth, who had excelled in that grace of giving. And he was using that excellence of those Macedonian churches to spur on the Corinthian church to do what they could do in terms of giving. And I want you to hear what Paul has to say here. Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they didn't do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your parts. But just as you excel in everything, in your faith, in your speech, in your knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here's my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. The background of that scripture is not about the Corinth church trying to raise money to build a building. The background of that church was about explaining to the Corinthians that this grace of giving all has to do with when you are rich, as the Lord Jesus Christ himself was, and made himself poor, others become rich. And I believe that that's what this grace of giving is about. It's about the construction of some improvements here, which are needed. They're badly needed. The appeal that we make here is a real one. But it also is about emptying that thing out of our own souls that so often wants to just gather up and store up and mount up and watch the balance increase without taking full account of what it is we're here for. Emily and I are now in our 60s, which is hard to believe. But I will tell you that as time has moved along for us, for me in my past, it's always been about how big can I get it and how high can we go and how much do we need. And I'm beginning to thank the Lord now that a little maturity is setting in that that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. And if I have to make myself a bit poorer in order to enrich the kingdom, that's what it's about. And that's what Paul was trying to teach the Corinthians about there in his message to them. The Macedonian churches to the north got it. They got that graciousness that God was giving them. And we can get it too. So as we go through this month or so of our effort in kind of thinking about, discussing, contemplating, you know, what we can do here financially, keep 2 Corinthians 8 and those first 12 scriptures in mind. Read them several times. Each time, one of the little phrases will jump out to you different than the one before. And for me, it's, yeah, I'm beginning to get that. I'm beginning to get that. Well, we have several things here, and we have about 15 minutes to do it. But the first thing I wanted to do is I want you all, if you've not already, to better know Jana McGilvery, who is our children's youth minister. She's only been on the job for 5 months.
Part-time, I started in, June, and then full-time in September.
So hardly at all. I'll bet that many of you don't know her, so I want Jana just to talk a little bit so that you can hear from her heart about what she believes children's ministry can be and will be with this church. So Jana.
Well, I'm really excited about this new initiative and the possibilities that it presents for us upstairs. We have been a growing ministry over the past few years, and we're continuing to grow. As you saw a couple weeks ago, we have 12 new babies this year. So it's just going to keep getting larger, and we're excited about that. And along with that, we have a lot of needs upstairs right now. Currently, we have our classrooms are too small, which is a great problem to have. But we need to make those an adequate space for growing numbers. We actually had to redo some room assignments this fall because we just had too many kids in too small of a room. So we're hoping with the improvements made that we can get larger class sizes for our children. And along with that, there are a lot of safety improvements that need to be made upstairs to make it a safe environment for our children. Adequate railing around the top of the stairs, making sure our restrooms meet ministry safe standards. So there's a lot of things that will make the environment upstairs one that children can learn, and can learn in a safe way, and in a way that they are shown that we love them, when we that we value them and we appreciate them.
Jana, one of the things that we're going to talk about here in a bit is that we're going to make an attempt to separate our middle and our high schoolers away from the children fifth grade and under. Kind of speak to that, if you would.
So the dream is to make the current youth group area an area where we can have a large space to accommodate children's worship upstairs. We know right now it's safety-wise and just convenience-wise, it's not the best of situations using the chapel for our children's worship. So we'd like to relocate that upstairs to what the current youth group room is, and also move our check-in station there so that it's one area where parents can go and be directed to drop off their children and get checked in, and then from there go on to their classrooms that will be located around the hall.
Jana is a teacher, has been a teacher, and has taken this job kind of out of a vision that she has for the skills that the Lord has blessed her with to do it in a ministry effort. Jana, is there any reason to expect that children should have hot running water in bathrooms?
I hope so.
Is there any reason that 60-year-old bathrooms aren't good enough for children?
Well, and one thing, we have had some discussion with architects, and one of the things I did really stress to them was making our ministry safe for all children. My dream for that is just to make the restrooms. Right now, there's a lot of nooks and crannies up there, and we want to get rid of those and make it a safe space.
So. I don't know if any of you have been up there in our restrooms, but you can lose a first grader in some of our men's toilet areas, I'll promise you. The toilet was designed not for a first grader. He's kind of got to hold on to make sure you don't lose him. And it's awful, isn't it? We've made do with those for so long, Janet. I'm just glad that some attention has finally turned to, hey, it doesn't have to be that way. Also, is a third or a fourth grader intimidated by going to class right next door to a high schooler upstairs?
I think it'll be, right now we are packed in up there, and just to be able to spread out and breathe a little bit, I think will be good for everyone. So,
part of this effort is going to be an expansion of about a 5,000 square foot facility, which will be out here. And do we have some pictures today? We have some pictures today, so you can kind of see how that fits in. But our middle and high schoolers will be displaced for a while as that thing is constructed, and it's to be out here kind of on the parking, on that front parking row right there on the left. I don't know if these pictures will be able to give you a better indication of what it's going to look like, but those middle and high schoolers will be away from our young ones. And we don't have an ornery set of middle school and high schoolers, but they kind of have a tendency to do their own things and to be their own way. And it's just going to be a positive thing for them to be over there and for everybody else to kind of be back here behind us. So up there, not behind us, but up there. William Weatherford. William Weatherford's our facilities minister, and William's challenge in all of this giving effort is that whoever our biggest super donor is going to be allowed to cut William's hair. He's agreed to this, right?
Right price.
You will do it for any price. Yeah, Steve's going to talk a little bit about his idea was to let some of the kids plaster him with a pie. I asked Steve if we could allow the kids to give him a burr, and Steve doesn't want a burr. He's worried about his looks. William needs a burr. So we're going to challenge our kiddos, who you'll see here in a little bit, with kind of a fun thing. And the leading contributor gets to shave William's head. And then he'll look like a minister. No, kidding aside, William's in charge of everything that happens here in this building. And I've heard some folks recently say, I cannot believe the activity in your church building on a regular daily basis. William's just going to speak to a little bit about what we use our facility for. We're not in lockdown mode during the week. No.
Yeah, during the week, really it gets pretty busy up here. There's quite a few groups that consistently use the building. We can start with just like the recovery world. Cinecor is a large, it's a two-year drug and alcohol rehabilitation program that sits just about a mile behind us here. And they use the building probably once every 6 weeks to 2 months. And they fill the auditorium on a Saturday night, celebrating usually 7 or 8 people who are finishing their program. We have community leaders showing up for that, judges. It's really a neat thing. And it's just a huge celebration of people who have really put in a lot of effort to change their lives. We also have a Narcotics Anonymous group that meets here once a week. We have a group called the Oxford House, which is a recovery community. They, when they have a big meeting, they'll come and use our building. The Fort Worth ISD uses the building a lot, the speech pathology, and then the counselors as a whole for their like teacher and service days, usually the beginning of the year, the end of the year, and a few times to the middle, they take over the fellowship hall. We do Daggett graduation, De Zavala, which is elementary school, just to the north of us. We'll do stuff with Academy 4 or Leaders 5 here with them. And the relationships we're building with these schools, I really see this increasing. It's just a central location for everyone. Some other groups, Arrow Foster Care, they use the building every couple of months to certify families for foster care. That's one of my favorite groups that use the building. That's just such a wonderful thing when these little kids who are in crisis for families to step in and love on those kids, and just to know that those families are certified here, I just love it. Goodness, I feel like I'm missing quite a few. That's the main ones, but there's quite a few. There's people in the community who don't necessarily go to church here, but they'll use it for large parties, just for funerals, for weddings, birthdays. Goodness. Communities and schools uses the building. They support teachers and stuff in schools. They have programs that go into the schools. The Hearing Loss Association of America does their monthly meeting here. They actually had a place across the street, and funding got them kicked out. So they were basically without a place to meet. And we've just recognized the importance of people having community and just the importance of people getting together. So we were happy to provide the space for them. There's a group called the Hemp Hill Task Force that meets here once a month. And that's community leaders and people who live off the Hemp Hill corridor. They get together with law enforcement or just community leaders and try to strategize ways to make this little section of Fort Worth better. It seems to be a constant group up here, really.
You know, years ago when I came back in the 80s or 90s, there really wasn't much going on here on a daily basis at all, other than the ministers back here in their offices doing what they do. And somewhere along the line, our home here kind of became the hub for lots of different things going on, as you can hear. Steve kind of did a good job this morning laying out the history of our church. I'm a numbers guy, and I wanted to share this history with you about this church here. Back in 59, when he mentioned that Southside's building here was built, that investment at the time was $450,000 for what we sit in here today. Years later, there was about $500,000 expenditure added for the fellowship hall, and then 15 or 20 years ago, there was the mercy wing added for about $450,000. If you tally those up, it's about $1.5 million of what I'll call expenditures made for what we now enjoy in this space and in this footprint that I'm going to say conservatively is worth a fair value of $3 million. You get the word picture? $1.5 million was spent. We now enjoy fair value on the property where we sit of $3 million. That appreciation is that investment that those faithful servants spent back there that we now enjoy today. We couldn't acquire this for $3 million today as a church family of this size, but we enjoy the fact that somebody expended $1.5 million back there and we now sit as the beneficiary of it today. That's kind of the idea behind what we want to do with this expenditure effort. If $1.5 million sounds high to you, I'll promise you that the way things work in the world is that the $1.5 million will go for about $3 million 40 or 50 years down the road. It's just the way it works. And so we look forward to being able to only have to raise $1.5 million to put something 50 years in the future on the ground here that's going to be worth a whole lot more to the saints and to the believers that worship here then. It's so great that those before us had the foresight in order to put what we enjoy here today. Well, the sound level has picked up. My motto in all of this is going to be the appeal is real. Kids, stand up and scream. Stand up and scream. Come on. Stand up and scream. Got that out. That sounds like VBS. Now, here's the details of what all we have. I got 5 minutes. The brains behind this entire effort is right here. Teresa Scott.
No, the real key is how to keep this guy in line. packets were distributed to each of you, and by no means are we going to go over that in detail, but there is one detail that I want to briefly mention to you. As you prayerfully consider what your family or your individual gift will be on December 8th, that is our Faithful to God's Future Giving Day for 2019. On that giving card, it has several ways that you can participate. Not only in 2019, but if you want to give part of it in 2019 and the remainder in 2020, you can pledge to do so. On the back, there is a way you can fill out the form if you want to give your gift in honor or memory of someone. It can be a legacy family. It can be children of Southside. So we want to give you that opportunity. If you will enclose it on Giving Day in the envelope marked Faithful to God's Future, and if you're giving a check, designate that on your check. That would be greatly appreciated to keep the funds where they need to go. I will not go over all details in ways to give, but we want every man, woman, and child to be able to participate. There is no gift too small. God knows your heart. He knows what you're able to do. And as you prayerfully consider that, we even want the children to be able to participate. And this doesn't have to be just for children. If you feel like it's the only way you can participate, we want you to do this as well. We want these children, 30 years from now, when they're having their own children, that they can say, I helped leave this legacy so that others can be taught. We have giving cups with our Faithful to God's Future on the front. They have a slot on top for coins, and every child is going to be able to come up in just a moment, not immediately, but in just a moment, so that they can participate in getting their cup, filling it, and anyone, even adults, college students, high school students, get your change cup, and we want those returned on December the 8th. Those of you that don't plan to give until 2020, we have a giving date scheduled for May the 3rd of 2020. So please consider that. One thing we don't talk about very often as we discuss being good stewards is consider putting Southside in your will, or considering putting Southside as a beneficiary to a life insurance policy, because that's been done in the past, and that's why we enjoy those fruits today. But that's something you can enjoy participating in, even though it's not immediately. I think Steve has a few comments. On Wednesday nights, the next three Wednesday nights, beginning this coming Wednesday, we will have informational meetings in the library. So I'm sure there will be many questions. We've been meeting with architects for months. All details aren't finalized, but I'll be in the library Wednesday evening at 6:30. Any of you that want to come and ask private questions and learn more, we'd love to do that.
Let me just say two things. I'll give it back to Joe and we can be done. First of all, I want to just walk through those slides of the layout of the addition and the renovation, just so that everybody kind of knows generally what we've been thinking about and talking about. So upstairs, if you'll look at there at the very top, that's where the youth room has been. That would be the children's ministry gathering room. That would be a large room where they would come together. Now, if you'll come down from that, there's a stairwell with a big square in the middle of it. That is an elevator. Now, that is not a part of the $1.5 million budget because elevators are really expensive, we found out. But there might be somebody out there that just says, you know what, I want to buy an elevator for this church because you struggle getting up the stairs or something like that. And so we're looking at that as a possibility. But like I said, it would be outside our current budget. And then we would redo all of those children's rooms coming down the hall to make the sizes equal, and also to reorganize them to where they would all be in order so that you could have the kids go to children's worship and then they could just be walked down to their class very easily and very simply. And of course, we would have the safety railings and things like that put in place. If you look at the bathroom section, if you'll notice there, we're going to separate the bathrooms from the baptistry entrance. So that's been one of our concerns, right? That, you know, children's going to get in the baptistry somehow. We're going to separate those, and then it'll be a situation where a teacher can be right in the middle of those bathrooms outside, right there, and can monitor what's going on in the bathroom. So going to totally renovate that. Now let's go to the other slide of the addition. So the addition would be coming out from the Mercy Wing into the parking lot area. It would take a little bit of our parking, just a few spaces, but I think we'll be okay there. And if you'll go all the way as you walk in from my right, that first room right there would be the middle high school room. right there. It'll be a middle high school room, and there's going to be a second floor to the middle high school room. So it would be a bottom floor and a top floor, so the middle school and high school can separate, and there'd be plenty of room, more room than they have now, to be together. And then out from there, there's going to be we're calling it a multi-purpose room. It'll be the size of kind of a half court. That's why they have it that way. But it would be used for many different things. Certainly a place of activities. College students could play activities there, youth group could play activities there, that kind of thing. But also it could be a place for another Bible class, it could be the place for a community ministry to meet. There actually would be showers in the bathrooms in this facility, so that if we needed to house people for some reason, we would have the ability to do that. And then if you'll notice, out to the side, there are these openings, those big, large openings. Those would be like big garage doors that are going to open up to the outside. That's what I mean. It's going to be kind of like our second front door to the community. So when we have our Day of Hope, or we have our school store, we can open up those big doors, and they can just be a really easy in and out from our outside into our building. So I think that's going to be an awesome, awesome thing. We don't have renderings yet of what that looks like on the outside. We're still working on that, and the architects have not, unfortunately, finalized that yet. But let me just make one little comment, and then I'll turn it back over. This effort, it's going to really stretch us, and that's a good thing. We need occasions every now and then where we are pushed to ask ourselves, okay, how much can I really give? I mean, how much can I really give? And these kinds of efforts, they come around once every 20 years. We're not going to come back in 2 years and be like, oh, by the way, we need another $1.5 million. This comes out once every 20 years. And so think about that as you think about how you're going to give, and really challenge yourself and stretch yourself and just see if God couldn't grow you in this process as well. Joe, back to you.
Okay, let's get the cup distribution going, those of you that are supposed to do that. Jim Gardner and I taught in the third, fourth, and fifth grade boys a while back. And, of course, he and I haven't been in a classroom in forever. And you don't need a lot for Jim Gardner and I. You know, we didn't even really care what the thing looked like. But thinking back when I walked in their classroom up there, I thought, as a fourth, fifth, or sixth grader, I would be none impressed with the facility that I'm walking in up here. It was just kind of cluttered and a disaster. And, of course, Jim and I, we worked perfectly out of it. We don't even know what's supposed to be in there in terms of furnishings and equipment. But that's one of the things that we'll get as a result of this campaign, is we'll get classrooms looking more like classrooms so that these children can have more of an experience possibly than they've had in the past as they learn to love the Lord. So we're happy about that. Kids, if you fill your cup, you get to give William a haircut. Adults, if you fill your cup, I'll even take a burr for the team. There you go, Clore. I asked Emily how it looked with the burr this morning. She goes, terrible. So bring me a burr. I'll take it. One of the students in our fourth and fifth and sixth grade class was Mr. Walton here. I call him Mr. Walton because Jim and I only used last names in that class. We decided it was too hard to learn first names and last names. So we just went with last names, and I know this guy is Walton, and I can't even tell you what his first name sitting here is, but he is a great, great kid, and here is just one of the kind of children that this church is bringing to the Lord and learning to love the Lord as he ages with us. So, Walton, will you close us out with a prayer?
Dear God, thank you for bringing us here today. Let us learn to love you and grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Walton. You are dismissed.
Well, are we going to continue passing the cups around to the adults? Okay. So while they continue passing the cups around, we're going to play this song. It's a video. We're going to play this song. I think it fits our theme, and we're going to play this song when we give on December 8th. So you can, as you're heading up, you can watch this.
those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
After all, our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Oh, may
all who come behind us find us faithful.